Jeremiah 51, verse 56. The next name we study tonight, a lot of overlap with the morning message, the Lord shall smite, one of God's names. Tonight we study Jehovah Gamola, the God of recompenses. The focus of the recompense and the purpose of it is different tonight. This morning it was the church. This evening it is the world. Quite a different purpose and quite a different result. Nonetheless, God is the God of recompenses. May the Lord bless us with sober minds and true fear of the Lord, that we would serve him. Jeremiah 51, verse 56. Hear now the word of the Lord. Because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken. For the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. So we see there the Lord God of recompenses. The Lord God of recompenses. Let me read that one more time. Because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord God of recompenses shall surely requite. That word requite, meaning repay. Morning sermon was about Jehovah Makkah, the Lord shall smite. And there was an aspect of the scripture in Ezekiel that I think is helpful to revisit tonight. Though that scripture was directed at the church as a place of discipline, we do nonetheless see an overlapping concept, and that is that God will repay us. We will reap what we sow. We think about that as it particularly is related to the world, Babylon, this evening out of Jeremiah. Jehovah Gamola, El Gamola Jehovah, in the Hebrew, it's actually three words, the Lord God of recompenses, actually, the Lord God of recompenses. Let me read to you a part of our verse from this morning in Ezekiel and another verse in that chapter to see the overlapping idea there addressed to the church that relates to what we're hearing addressed to the world this evening. Ezekiel 7, verses 9 and 27 in part, speaks of God taking retribution. You could use the word revenge. It's a holy vengeance. He says, I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations. And ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them. So the emphasis there, I will recompense thee according to thy ways and abominations. According to what you have done, I will bring it back on you. According after their way and according to their deserts, I will judge. God's keeping an account. There's an aspect of bringing judgment upon a people when they just won't repent after many rebukes. That was the idea today. We focused on the fact that he would smite. I am the Lord that smites. But it relates to the idea that it's an act of bringing back what is due to us, what we brought upon ourselves. Now, even the church sows what it reaps, but much more the world, much more Babylon. Look at verse 25 of our text, Jeremiah 51. Verse 25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. So you see the image, this mountain that is one that destroys, God will destroy. He will bring the rocks down. He will make it as if it's a burnt up mountain of nothing. He will lay it low. You know, the scriptures often speak about the wicked will fall in their own pits that they dig for other people. They will be caught up in their own nets that they lay out to grab other people, because God is paying attention and he will bring back on those who are doing these things. You can think again of Haman. He builds this scaffold to hang Mordecai. He's the one that gets hung on it. God will bring back wickedness upon the world. Jehovah Gamola, literally again, El Gamola Jehovah. Remember that word El being God, the strong one. The Lord God of recompenses. Recompenses, again, meaning return, to repay, to reward, but in the idea of negative, a negative reward, the wages of sin. Rewarding evil empires and their people according to their wars against Christ and against his church. And you think of that when we read and sing Psalm 2. What is the psalm there? All the kings of the world are mocking God and his anointed, laughing at them as if they're never going to have to face him and never have to pay up for how they're acting. And it says God and God's anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ, will have the last laugh. He has this rod of iron that he will break the nations. And it's only those who have bowed and kissed the Son that he wouldn't be angry with them that are going to make it through this. God, Christ, is going to bring it back on those. They're going to have the last laugh on those that are laughing against him. Babylon is mentioned in our text. Babylon, God is bringing this upon Babylon. Now, we recognize that Babylon is used by God here to reform Israel. Babylon is what God was talking about this morning in Ezekiel. I'm bringing other pagan nations upon you, and they are wicked, and what they're doing to you is wicked, and they do too much. But don't miss that I'm the one that sent them to you. I'm the one that's punishing you. I'm the one who's hitting you, spanking you, beating you, so that you would repent and truly be sorry and change. Nonetheless, though Babylon is used by God to reform Israel then, God will reject Babylon. And we see that in the verse, God is promising to take final vengeance on all his enemies that tempt, taunt, and torment the church. We know this because Babylon takes on more of a meaning than just literal Babylon. Babylon, through the scriptures, begins to take on this idea of the world, the wicked world, false religions combining with the governments, the powers of this world, the riches of this world, the wickedness of this world is Babylon. Babylon becomes this figure of speech to represent those who are not part of the church. All the powers that look like they have it all, that look like they will never have to face anything for what they're doing. Look at verse 8 of our text. It's a bit of a long chapter, but look back to verse 8. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. Of course, she can't. Babylon is suddenly fallen. Babylon is fallen. Now, this is a phrase also said in Isaiah 21, verse 9. Babylon is fallen. And it goes on to represent the whole world in Revelation 14, verse 8 and 18, verse 2. It speaks of Babylon being fallen. Babylon is this significant image and name in the Revelation representing the world. And Jesus wants us to know Babylon is fallen. It doesn't feel like it right now. But Babylon is already conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is fallen. It will face him. And it will cower before him. Remember Hebrews 12, it teaches us that God is disciplining his children, and that shows that they are his sons. It's temporal punishment. It's bringing things on us to teach us a lesson so we don't do it again, so we reform and we grow and we revive. But for the world, it's different. When God brings these things on the world, it is because it rejects him as father, wants nothing to do with him as their father. And so God, when he brings these things upon the world, he brings recompense on the world, and particularly at the end of the days, at the last great day of judgment, he condemns with eternal judgment the world. It's quite the contrast. The concept is God is the Lord God of recompenses, but it's a significant difference upon whom he recompenses and why and how. Peter talks about it like this. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That was this morning. He goes on to say what would relate to this evening. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? If the Lord will often let difficult things come upon his people, difficult and horrible things like what happened to the church in these days of the major prophets especially, if the Lord will let that happen to them, how much worse will it be for those who obey not the gospel, who are not Christians? How horrible is the judgment coming upon them as they stand before Jesus Christ as goats and are sent away to everlasting destruction. Let me read that again, 1 Peter 4, verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? It's a rhetorical question to make you go, can you imagine? God brings recompenses to restore the church, but he brings recompenses to ruin the world, Babylon. Babylon who thinks she is everything. Babylon who perverts the world and perverts the church. Babylon who tries to take over everything in God's kingdom. God is watching, and he will ruin her. Psalm 94, verse 1 sings, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? That's the same cry of Revelation 6, verse 20. The souls of the martyrs praying at the altar, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How encouraging that is for the persecuted church, the suffering church. They're crying out in heaven, Lord, when will you take vengeance? How long do we have to wait for you to recompense your enemies, for you to recompense those who have persecuted us and made us suffer, and killed us? How long? The answer there, and the answer in the text tonight is this, not forever. Not forever. God's day, judgment day, of eternal vengeance surely is coming. So we have that image of Christ in Revelation 19, riding on the white horse, coming to conquer and conquering. He's in the process. He's coming back. Remember, not on a donkey next time. He brought peace to those who would have it the first time. He comes back on a horse, representing that he comes to conquer. He comes to bring vengeance. He's carrying a sword. The Psalms often sing of God's judgment of the world. They sing of it with thanksgiving. They sing of God's vengeance over the world as a blessing. God will remove all the wicked from this earth, and he will bring judgment. He is not just a God of love. He is a God of justice. Think of Psalm 98 that we love to sing with the women's parts and the men's parts. Much of the psalm is praising the Lord for judgment day, recognizing he'll judge the church, but particularly he'll judge the whole world. He will take out Babylon, and he will give her what she is due. And if we care really about justice, that resonates with us. We thank God it isn't going to be upon us, but it resonates to want to see God bring justice. So you should sing of God's vengeance and justice on the world of Babylon. And we do sing the Psalms to do that. But until the final day of judgment, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That's Romans 12, 19, referring to Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. Not the only verse there in Deuteronomy that speaks of God having vengeance. God will have vengeance upon the wicked world, Babylon. So in the meantime, we're not to be seeking personal vengeance, because that can give us peace, especially for those persecuted, those who might lose loved ones to Babylon. We wait for God, who will bring a vengeance no man can bring, a most horrible vengeance he will surely and truly bring upon those who have persecuted and killed his people. Until that time also, look at verse 6 of our text. Knowing that God is going to bring such vengeance on Babylon, especially depicted in the book of Revelation, hear this warning that Revelation draws upon. Verse 6 of chapter 51. Flee! Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. There it is again. He is going to take vengeance on Babylon, mighty Babylon, the world, the whore Babylon, spoken of in Revelation. He will bring a vengeance upon her on Judgment Day. And so what should you and I be doing? Flee! Run away from her! Have nothing to do with her. So that you have nothing to do with the vengeance that God is waiting to pour out upon her. Same thing in verse 45. Look at verse 45 of Jeremiah 51. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. And what is it to flee out of Babylon? It is to flee to Christ. It is to deny all the false Christs, the Antichrist, and it is to turn to the true Christ and die to this world, Babylon, and live for Christ in the kingdom of heaven. So Revelation, the whole chapter 18, particularly talking about how Babylon is fallen and defeated by Christ the King. We read verses 4 and following. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. Wow. Not just recompensing equal, but double her iniquities. double her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Because her sin has filled up the cup of wrath, double so. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. God is going to judge this world, Babylon. It is going to be severe and superfluous in a sense. And we're warned to come out of her in Revelation 18 so that you're not partaking in her iniquities, but more importantly, so you do not partake in the plagues and judgments and the rewards double so upon her because of these iniquities, that you would be spared of what God is going to do to Babylon. So wait upon God's vengeance upon Babylon and make sure his vengeance is not waiting to fall upon you as part of Babylon. All the worldliness of this world, all the involvements of this world, come out of Babylon. For judgment day is coming upon her exactly as she deserves. You know, the scriptures often speak of men and nations of the world joking that God does not see us. He's not aware of what we're doing, and he's not going to do anything about it. Probably we're saying that just before Noah's flood. Probably we're saying that just before Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah. The scriptures go on to say, they say that, but the reality is God is watching. His wrath is building up to pour out upon Babylon and repay their transgressions forever. So God shows himself to you tonight to be Jehovah Gamola, the Lord God of recompenses. El Gamola, Jehovah, the Lord God of recompenses. Oh, how the mighty will have fallen, for God will bring vengeance on the world. And that is the message for you this evening. It is an encouragement for the true Christian, and it is a sobering warning to make sure you are one. God will bring vengeance on the world. Let us pray. Indeed, O Lord God, we acknowledge the truth of your word. You will pour out your grapes of wrath upon Babylon. We indeed see in this scripture the coming of the Lord. Your terrible wrath, your righteous anger, your great and utter destruction of the world that masquerades as if it is in power, that hurts, persecutes, and even kills your church. We cry out with the saints in heaven, especially with the martyrs, how long, O Lord, how long until you bring vengeance upon her? Oh Lord, we do rejoice that the answer is soon. The time is at hand. The answer is that we will not wait forever. Lord, let us indeed count ourselves among the church so that your recompenses to us are simply to cause us to repent and be restored, to revive and reform us. But indeed, Lord, we do sing your psalms, and we look ahead to judgment day with rejoicing, for you will bring justice on those who would refuse your grace. You will bring justice to bear, and you will recompense Babylon for all of her filthiness and wickedness and perversion and destruction, all of her abuses. You will bring that all upon her as you purge this world. So we remember, Lord Jesus, you tell us to watch and pray and be ready. The mind is willing, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, Lord, quicken our spirits and strengthen our flesh. Help us to be focusing on the fact that you are coming at any moment. And because we don't know the day, as our confession instructs us, it is the fact that we don't know the final day of judgment. It is in part meant to be the case that it causes us to always be watching, always be waiting and looking for it, and that it would affect the way we live our lives greatly. Let us not count ourselves among Babylon. But we do cry out that you would come soon, Lord Jesus, and come quickly and free her grip upon this world. Thank you for assuring us that you will. And the meek shall inherit the earth. We praise you, Lord, who shall smite. We praise you, the Lord God of recompenses. We magnify your name, and we are in awe of you, and we are waiting for you. Help us to wait upon you. We pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, King and Head of the Church, and the one who will come to judge the world. And all your people said, Amen.